The Rebrand Podcast is a proud member of the I Hear Everything Podcast Network. Looking to launch or scale your podcast? I Hear Everything delivers podcast production, growth, and monetization solutions that transform your words into profit. Ready to give your brand a voice? Then visit IHearEverything.com. Welcome to the Rebrand Podcast, a member of the I Hear Everything Podcast Network. This podcast tells the stories of world-changing marketing campaigns as told by the people who build them. Ready to hear untold stories behind the brands you love? Then sit back, relax, and get ready for the rebrand. Here's the host of the Rebrand Podcast, the CEO of the Harkey Group, Scott Harkey.
All right, rebrand podcast time. Or as you know, we tell untold stories of world-changing brand campaigns as told by the marketers who built them. I'm your host and founder of the Harkey Group, Scott Harkey. And today we're going to discuss creative branding strategies. Joining us today is Ian Grody, who is the Chief Creative Officer at Giant Spoon, which is an independent integrated agency that expands the way people experience brands. Known for turning marketing upside down, Giant Spoon has created transformative work for companies like GE, HBO, HP, MassMutual, Netflix, NBC, Reddit, and more. Some pretty big brands there. So we're excited about this topic. We're going to talk today about making the most of creative branding with Walmart Studio. Here's my conversation with Ian Grody, the Chief Creative Officer at Giant Spoon. What's going on, brother?
What love, man. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. So, I mean, let's jump right into it. I'd love to hear your background, how you got over to Giant Spoon. Love your independent, not with one of the holding companies. So love to see where you guys are based and maybe get into your background. And then I want to jump into some of this Walmart Maker Studio stuff.
Sure, you bet. So Giant Spoon is, as you said, an independent integrated agency. We have offices in New York and LA. We've been around for about 10 years. And my job is to oversee all of the creative, experiential, and design work that we do across all of our offices. And I have an amazing team behind me that makes all that possible. I arrived at Giant Spoon via an unconventional route, you could say. I started my career as a writer. I was writing and selling TV shows. And I was writing and selling shows to DreamWorks and MTV and Sci-Fi, and they ran the gamut. So I was doing space operas and raunchy country musicals. And I was writing one-hour dramedies, and it was wild and it was fun. And in many ways, it was a living, but I wouldn't call it a life because so many of the things that I was working on were ending up collecting dust in the shelves of development executives. And I found as I was making ad work on the side and watching it go, that that's what I loved. I loved seeing things and feeling things made. And I didn't want to be someone who was writing the theory of a creative output. I wanted to have a tangible creative output that I could call my own. And so I made my way many moons ago to the world of advertising full time, and I brought a skill set around storytelling that I thought was rare and maybe, if I flatter myself, covetable in an industry where that is, you just don't see it quite as much. So it was a differentiator for me. I came over after freelancing for a while to a company called Kettle, which is owned by Code and Theory, and I was able to work on amazing brands like Apple, Luxottica brands like Persol and Ray-Ban, L'Oreal, and so forth. And then Giant Spoon reached out and they tapped me. And what they said to me was really interesting. They said, look, man, you're painting with only a few colors on your palette. What we see is you've done all this amazing and diverse work as a writer, and you've done comedies and musicals, and you've done like superhero shows. And now you're doing elevated docu stuff, which is great. But you're limited and you're not probably creating to the best of your abilities and realizing your complete potential as a creative. So I came over here about 6 years ago now, and they kept their promise. And what I was able to do is build a creative team that is in every way founded on the principles of story that got me this far. And they're pretty extraordinary. And that's sort of been the mission. Make us the most inspiring, most story-driven creative agency in the world.
That's really cool. And I love your background coming from entertainment. I've actually had multiple people that have come over from entertainment over to advertising on this podcast more recently. I feel like in the last 5 years, certainly seen more of a trend. I think during COVID, it ramped up, and I couldn't agree with you more. Ultimately, storytelling and finding content that has the right story arc and the right production capabilities and contacts and writing certainly puts you a leg up in the industry. So it totally makes sense. Cool to hear Giant Spoon and what they're doing. Certainly very familiar with Code and Theory, great agency. But let's get right into kind of our topic. Talk to me about creative branding with Walmart Maker Studio. And I'm embarrassed and say I haven't dealt with Walmart Creative Studio a ton, so I don't know a lot about it. So I'd love to hear all about it.
Oh, of course. So to give you a little bit of context, Giant Spoon very proudly built all the experiences for Walmart's Black and Unlimited business. And the purpose of that endeavor is really to create a platform for these incredible Black makers and creatives and create a space where everyone can come experience them in a variety of ways. And those spaces also become canvases for amazing up-and-coming local Black artists to participate and to share their work as well. And so when we build a Black and Unlimited maker studio, and we have built several, they're popping up at events like Something in the Water, which is Pharrell's festival in Virginia. They're popping up at Rock the Bells. They're popping up at BeautyCon. And what we've done is we found a way to build a system where we have many things that are unmistakably maker studio. As far as that branding is concerned, the logo is never violated. The logo always sort of remains the same. And the ethos of the experiences that we're building always remain the same as well. But what changes and what's modular is very contextual to that environment. So when you go to Something in the Water, you are on the beach. And what you're doing is you're building something that has that beach house energy that feels organic to the setting and contextual, but is still, again, unmistakably maker studio. When we're showing up at Rock the Bells and we're building an experience there, what we're doing is we're really spending time understanding that it was the 50th anniversary of hip hop. And we wanted to take it back to the 90s and build an experience that celebrated that sort of golden age of hip hop in New York. So we built that maker studio in a way that was very much an homage to that period. And again, it was very, very contextual. So what you're doing is you're building a system where some things always remain the same, and then you're creating space for yourself or creative real estate for yourself to always bring in contextual references and elements and artists that help make it feel personal and, again, contextual.
That's really cool. Yeah. And I'm looking at a ton of press on it. Obviously, I'm looking at a Revolt article here, which was great. Now, are these experiences built like I see like the Bells Festival at a lot of festivals? Is it a physical place on Walmart's ecosystem website, or is it all experiential out at events or like a physical space or both?
I think the answer is all of the above. What we want to do is we want to create as many pathways as possible to access all of this, to access the idea. And that's the key. So when we talk about Giant Spoon expanding the way people experience brands, it's very much about creating a greater number of pathways, portals, points of entry into any brand's universe or into any concept. So when we're building an experience, take Walmart, for example, and the Maker Studio, it's not just solely that experience. It's all of the content that's built around that experience that goes out on social and gives everyone a taste of what's happening, not only to induce FOMO, but to invite you in and say you can be a part of it no matter where you are, even though there's a physical build associated with that. Then there's also a .com experience and a digital component there, so you can get a taste of everything that we're working on as well, from the website to the build.
That's really cool. Yeah, and when you Google it, just a ton of things come up, and it obviously makes a lot of sense for Walmart and basically creating an ecosystem for, is it just Black artists, and or is it beyond that as a creative studio? Would love to maybe hear even a little bit more.
Sure, of course. I think the purpose of the Black and Unlimited platform is to really champion Black artists and entrepreneurs and Black makers, which is really, really wonderful. The who it's for is for everyone. And I think that really putting people onto these extraordinary brands, these extraordinary makers, and using the power and the scale of Walmart's platform to do that is what makes it all worthwhile and what makes it all special.
What was the impetus for Walmart to go this direction, and how long has it been going? And just a ton of questions around kind of, is it fit into one of their pillars? Is it part of the entrepreneur pillar? Is it a DEI initiative? Is it all of the above? Is it extension of brand? Is it just find ways to cure content? I'm curious of where the idea came from.
Sure, of course. In the case of Walmart, I mean, Walmart is a brand that I think is so associated with community, with bringing people together. I think there's an amazing statistic, I'd have to dig it up, about the proximity of every person in the United States to a Walmart. And so, as you grow up, it becomes part of the identity of towns, of communities. And using that sort of as a jumping off point, I think the idea of building community around Black makers and Black-owned brands is something that just makes a ton of sense for them. I also think that they have the ability and the scale, when you consider how many Walmarts exist and how many people's lives they touch, to program those brands and those amazing up-and-coming artists like into people's lives. And so they said to themselves, I think several years ago now, this is something that we can do, that not everyone can do, and it's something that we should be doing to support underrepresented brands and underrepresented creators. So it's really cool. It's really wonderful.
It's a big idea too, as big as Walmart. It's still a really big idea. I mean, it's creating a whole platform for artists. It's not just creating content or just a one-off event. I mean, evergreen platform kind of opportunities.
And it's awesome.
Yeah.
It's awesome. We just, in February, had a Black and Unlimited initiative that lived outside of Maker Studio, but was awesome. February's Black History Month. There was an extra day this year. It was a leap year. And so on February 29th, we built this amazing drop clock, this larger than life installation. And I think it was every hour on the hour, we would drop a new product from a Black entrepreneur, Black owned brand, or Black led brand for everyone to discover in both New York and LA. And the crowds were immense. They were massive. And it was awesome. So what you're really doing is you're creating a moment, but that moment is designed to send a message out into the universe and to share with Walmart consumers and everyone else. And that message is, it's always a good time to shop Black. And that was till it came through. So we have an amazing team of creatives here who
made that possible.
It's one thing as a brand to say we're about X, Y, and Z, but it's another thing to just do. And I think this is a really good reminder and representation for, you know, declaring you're about this or declaring you're about that is not enough. Actually doing something and showing how you care and what you're about is so much more powerful, and empowering other people. It's crazy. Like, it's like a no duh idea, but like no one's really doing it at this scale. I'm super impressed. Like, it's cool project.
It's very cool. And, you know, one of the things that inspires me most about teaming up with Walmart is the fact that they always position themselves as enablers, as amplifiers, and they don't make this about them. And I think there are so many brands out there who would do this the wrong way. And I genuinely believe Walmart is doing it the right way.
100%. This is not a make the logo bigger campaign, right? This is cool. I can see why you're so pumped about it. Let's do this, Ian. I'm going to bring you right back. I want to talk more broadly, you know, just marketing and what you guys are up to at Giant Spoon and how you view the world. I want to get into, I think our next topic is creative branding for big brands like GE. I can tell you think about the world in a different way. If you want to hear more about Giant Spoon, just and see some of their work, I'm definitely tooling around there. It's giantspoon.com, giants with an S, spoon.com. Obviously, as you guys know, everything you want and need to know is at rebrandpod.com. You can find me on all the social channels, just at Scott Harkey. If you haven't subscribed yet, 20 plus thousand subscribers of marketing people. Again, we're still hanging the top 5 marketing podcasts. Big thanks to HubSpot and the podcast network there. And then Ben Shapiro, our producer, thank you guys. You guys are kicking butt, continuing to grow audience. So, and that's mostly a tribute, not only to them, but to our marketing community here. So that's it for today. But now remember, it's never too late to rebuild, reboot, or rebrand.